2016 is here, and how exciting that is as we think about going into this new year. At age 95, Rabbi Herschel Schachter died in the Bronx, New York. Now, most of you don't know who he is, but he became famous on April 11th, 1945. When General Patton's Third Army had just liberated the Buchenwald concentration camp. 1 hour later, Rabbi Schachter was the first Jewish chaplain to enter that concentration camp. And when he did, we find by looking at the newsreels that show that account, he found the reality of hundreds of starving men lined up and piled in bunks from the floor to the ceiling. Though they had been told an hour before they'd been freed, they remained in their barracks because those who came to be their liberators were in uniform just as their captors had been for years, and they suspected that the new uniforms meant more oppression, more abuse, so they wouldn't leave the barracks until Rabbi Schachter walked in and spoke to them in their own language. Shalom Aleichem, Yidden ears and fray, peace be upon you, Jews, you are free. And when they finally heard these words from someone they knew to be their own, a little trickle of people, men, began to walk out of the barracks, and then a flood as they went out, as they kept hearing from bunk to bunk, you are free, you are free, you are free. He would remain in Buchenwald for a number of months, actually setting up services in what was a former Nazi kitchen reception hall. And he offered services to those who'd been persecuted for so long. You are free, they were told, and they began to grab hold of the truth of what it meant that they were free. I want to say to you today, if I were to share with you a message as you go into the new year, here's the message I have for you today. You are free. You are free. Can I have an amen to that? You are free. That is a message that we as followers of Christ need to hear as we're going into this new year. You are free from needing to impress other people instead of obey God. You are free from the bondage that sin brings to enslave us in fear. You are free to stop trying to earn favor with God by what you do, but instead to rejoice on what he's done for you. You are free to enjoy the Christian life that he's called you to live with a deep-seated joy, purpose, and direction. As I was thinking about a verse of scripture to share with you on this new year, this verse I'm going to share with you is a word that sums up the entire spiritual life, that it sums up the entire way that the Christian life is meant to be lived. It was written to some followers of Christ in Asia, in the area of Galatia. And these Christians were being tempted to start to believe they could earn favor with God at a higher standing based on what they do. Turn in your Bibles to Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Galatians 2, 20, I invite you to take a Bible out of the seat in front of you, or you can follow along on the screen. Galatians 2, 20, here's what I'd like us to do. Stand, if you would, please. And I want us to read together with emphasis, with confidence, with joy, this declaration that sums up the whole spiritual life. Let's read it together, please. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Thank you. Seated. When you look at this verse and you see what is going on here, you can see three basic foundational truths that we need to grab a hold of as we seek to go into the new year. But you need to understand the context found in verse 19, where Paul says, through the law, I died to the law so that I might live for God. Meaning this, Paul said, through the law, through the Old Testament law, I discovered I don't match up. I can't match up. I can't do enough to make God accept me. It is based on faith, not based on what I do. It is based on grace, not based on what I do. He said, through the law, I've learned that I can't match up, but that I've been set free unto God. A number of years ago, when I went for counseling to deal with anger issues that were deep-seated in my soul, there was a question that I would ask the counselor over and over again. How long is this going to take? In other words, when will I be done? And he says, why do you keep asking me this? And I said, how long is it going to take? I mean, what do I have to do? What books do I have to read? What papers do I have to do? What do I have to do? And he said, why do you keep asking this? I said, I want to check it off my bucket list. I want to say I've gone through it, that this is done. This part of my life is over. And here's what he said to me. It's not about what you need to do. It's who you need to become. And he said, you need to unpack your hurts, your wounds, your anger, the stuff that's there that's holding you back, and you'll know when we're done. And so you see, it's so easy in our flesh to cry out and say, what do I need to do? What more can I do? What more do I need to be able to accomplish? What more steps do I need to take so finally I'll have what it is I'm looking for? The Apostle Paul explains to us, it's not about what we do, but we have to be refreshed with who we are in Christ, our identity in Christ. So we see this in verse 20. He starts off and says, I have been crucified with Christ. Here's the first truth I want you to mark down. I am dead. I am dead. He says, I've been crucified with Christ. Crucifixion means death. That means whatever I was before I came to Christ was nailed on the cross with Christ. My old man died. Can I have an amen to that? My old self died. And for this reason, we have to stop saying, well, you know, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. That's who you used to be. That's who we used to be. We are not any longer seen as sinners by God. He sees us as saints. He sees us as set apart, as totally accepted in Christ. God has a different designation. Look at what Paul says. I have been crucified with Christ. The tense that he uses is a tense saying something took place in the past and has abiding results, has future results. Illustration. On October 15th, 1983, I committed my life and my love to Kimberly Bundy. And as a result of that decision, there is abiding results that now I'm loved. I'm cherished. I'm cared for. And I have someone to love, cherish, and care for. It goes back to a decision that was made there, that was recorded in the courthouse in Jefferson County, was recorded on the marriage license. In fact, this happened. And as a result of that happening, it now produces abiding results. You have been crucified with Christ. That happened in the past. But as a result, there are future abiding results. This is why the Apostle Paul said, I boast in the cross of Christ. not only because he was set free and his sins were forgiven, but because he realized his old man had died. He was no longer the boaster. He was no longer the persecutor. The old person he used to be died. The Apostle Paul makes it clear, you have died. I am crucified with Christ. You may say, what if I don't feel that my old me has died? It doesn't matter if you feel it or not. God says it's true. The old you has died, and as a result, it's up to you to believe it. What happens is people then refer to their shortcomings with the fact of, well, that's just the way I am. It's just the way I am, that I have a short fuse. No, that's who you were, not who you are now. Or saying, well, I'm just not a real patient person. No, that's who you were. That's not who you are now. Well, you know, I'm just not self-disciplined. No, that's who you were. That's not who you are now. Your old you has died. And so as a result, when we understand that, we set free the Spirit to be able to produce his fruit in our life, because we keep reminding yourself, the old me died on that cross. So when I get up in the morning, I can begin to say, and I start to feel certain things, and my flesh begins to cry out and cry out to me to respond a certain way, I need to be able to stand up and say, no, that old me died. That old me is dead and buried, and now a new me lives inside of me to give me the power to go forward. Can I have an amen to that? See, that's what God says. You have died. And the Apostle Paul makes it clear. Just follow on the screen, Romans chapter 6. He says it so clearly. Romans 6. For we know that our old self was crucified with him. So the body of self that was crucified might be done away with or rendered inoperative, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Because anyone who's died has been set free from sin. Now, if we died, you get the point? We died. We died with Christ. Our old person died with Christ. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we also will live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. Read the next verse. Read verse 11 with me. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Now that term count literally means embrace it. Grab a hold of it. When we moved to Texas, we had to learn some new vocabulary. For example, when we were living in Pennsylvania, where Kim was from, we would often hear the plural of you is yous. That's what we'd hear. We got to Texas, we learned yous is not the plural, it's y'all. That's the plural, right? We also learned it's not I trust something. Down in Texas, you say I reckon it so. And when you say you reckon it so, that means you believe it. You grab a hold of it. That's why some translations, when it translates that verse, says, reckon yourself dead to sin. Count it as true. Embrace it as true, because it's the reckoning that count. You died. Your old you died. Say, well, how come it keeps coming up? Because you keep blowing air into it. And as a result, you keep blowing air into it to give it strength, to give it power. When the old you died, you died. And so as a result, you are called to believe it. To believe it. To believe that is true. So often we don't believe it. We pray and we say, Lord, give me victory. Where what we should be saying is, help me live in light of my victory. We pray, God, give me victory through this whole thing, if it's your will. He already showed you it's his will, because he already caused the old you to die and has given you a new you to be able to go forward. Oswald Chambers said it. We live from victory, not for it. Based on the victory that's already ours. We ask God, God, free us. Free me of this. Free me of this. God says, I already have, because he who the Son sets free is what? Free indeed. So you see, we have died. So in the morning, when you get up, you have to declare this truth that you believe.
I died. The old me died. There was already a service for him. He died.
And now I'm going to walk, and as Paul said, I die daily. He said, every day I get up and keep reminding myself, I died. I died. And listen, here's how it works. You finish something and you're in a pressure situation. Typically for me, confession here. Typically for me, it's after services. And I go home. And I go home and I'm exhausted and I'm worn down. And I go home and I'm called to minister to my family. And my flesh cries out, leave me alone. Go away. I don't want to hear any problems. I don't want to hear any issues. Don't you dare quote me, but I'm telling you, this is what happens. And my flesh just cries out, and I have to say, Lord, I can't, but you can. That old me that's selfish and self-centered and wants to be waited on and wants to be cared for, wants to be coddled and everything else, totally in the center of it, I have to say, no, that's the old me that died. The new me is able to get me the strength. And I'll tell you what happens. It starts right here. It starts right here in my head. And when I choose to believe it's true, there's a supernatural power that comes about. And it's not about me. It's not about me at all. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. He doesn't stop here. He not only says, I died. Second truth, I am alive. I am alive. Look what he says. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live. But, read it with me, Christ lives in me. I am alive. Literally, we are dead men walking. That's who we are. And to see where we used to be, the sinner, the worm, who couldn't match up, we're now called saints. Tony Evans, pastor from Dallas, Texas, has a great illustration. He says this, I like the analogy of caterpillars and butterflies. When is the last time you ever heard someone call a butterfly a converted caterpillar? I love that. Because we're not converted caterpillars, we're butterflies. We used to be a caterpillar, we used to be the worm, but now we're a butterfly. And a butterfly may be wounded, a butterfly may be hurt, a butterfly may be defeated, a butterfly may be discouraged, but it's still a butterfly. And you died, but you're alive. And so the Apostle Paul says this, you're a saint. I sure don't feel like a saint all the time. Let me tell you something to encourage you. One of the most fleshly, carnal, disobedient, divisive groups of people in the New Testament are the people from the church in Corinth. And Paul called them saints. How could he do it? They were as fleshly as all get out. How could he do it? Because it's not based on what you do. It's based on what God says is true. That saints means set apart. Set apart. And so in Colossians 3, verse 4, Paul says this, when Christ, who is your life, appears, you will appear with him in glory. Notice what he says. He didn't say Christ is your helper. Christ is your assistant. He says Christ is your life. A few years ago, when people used to put bumper stickers, spiritual ones, on their car, you would oftentimes see bumper sticker like this, God is my co-pilot. Let me tell you something. That is horrible theology. God is not your co-pilot. He has no desire to be your co-pilot. What's he want to be? The pilot. He doesn't want to be sitting in the other chair, so if you need him, he's there. That's horrible theology. I'm sorry if it's on your car that you need to rip off. I'll pray, and you can go out and do it before the service is over. But listen, he's not your co-pilot. He wants to be the pilot. Christ is your life, it says. And that's why Paul says, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ my Lord, because he sees the victory. Paul wrote this, for me to live is what? Christ. Christ. Christ causes us to be alive, to be filled with joy, to be filled with purpose, to be filled with confidence. The old you died. Believe it. The new you is alive. Accept it. Accept the truth. For me, to live is Christ. And the third truth is this: I am empowered. I am empowered. Look what he says. I've been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live in the body, I live by what? Faith in the Son of God. Listen, faith not in you. Faith not in your effort, not in my effort. Faith in Jesus. Faith in the Son of God. See, it's by faith. I am empowered. Depend on it. Depend on it. There's a difference between a believer who says Christ is in my life and the one who says Christ is my life. When Christ is your life, you're empowered to live for him, to live with him, to walk with him. And God says it's activated by faith. What is faith? Faith is living as if what God says is true. And he says you died. Believe it. You're alive. Accept it. You're empowered. Depend on it. And each day you believe you're dead, you accept you're alive, and you depend on his power. And then look at the end of the verse. I'm crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, yet Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Why is it that I can celebrate this kind of victory? Because he loved me and gave himself for me. Notice what it says. He gave himself for me. His life was not taken away from him. He offered it. He laid it down himself because he loved us. He was not a martyr. He was one who willingly said, I'm going to go to that cross for you because I loved you. And as a result, by faith, I get up and I look at it and I say, today I'm going to choose to believe that the old me is dead and the new me is alive. And I'm going to accept it and I'm going to depend on his power. By faith, he says, he clicks it. By faith, he puts it into action. So what you do every moment of each day when you start to feel that flesh coming after you, you stand up and say, no, I died. I'm alive, and I'm depending on his power. It can be summed up this way. Christ died for me to give his life to me, to live his life through me. That is a sum of the Christian life. That is a sum of the spiritual life that we are called to live. Let's read it together. Christ died for me to give his life to me, to live his life through me. Read it again. Christ died for me to give his life to me, to live his life through me. You died. Believe it. You're alive. Accept it. You're empowered. Depend on it. And so as you go into this new year, you can rejoice. You are free. You are free. And you may not feel it. There's going to be days you're not going to feel it at all. But believe it. It's true. Accept it. It's true. Depend on it. It's true. So as we come to worship the Lord today at his table, as you hold that bread, as you hold that cup, may it be a reminder of your identity in Christ. You died. You're alive. You're empowered. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you so much for your grace that saves us, that sets us free, so we can walk empowered. Thank you for the sacrifice of Christ. Thank you, Father, for this privilege just to chew on it, to meditate on it, to think upon it, of what he did for us so that we can walk in total victory. In Jesus' name.